How y'all doing this morning?
That's been great, Paul.
That's good. Oh, I like to you. Awesome. See, good to see you, Simon. Twice in 1 month. Or I guess last one. I guess I'm not twice. Oh, stop. Jeez. Love having that son-in-law on the drums. Good. That's always good. Oh, it's an amazing day today, isn't it? Although we need some rain. Drove to Fairbanks yesterday, and man, we hit about, the Denali Park hotel area there. Yeah, smoke all the way to Fairbanks. Yeah, so be praying for our brothers and sisters up there, because man, I would not want to be living. Deanna was like bad. You could hardly see the bridge going across. It was so smoky. So I don't know where the fires are up there, but they gotta be close. So anyway, just keep our men and women who are fighting those fires in prayer, in your prayers, and be praying we actually get some moisture. That'd be nice for like, you know, a week or two straight. That'd be nice. I know some of you like the sunshine, but we need the water. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for today. We thank you that we just come together. Father, again, we just lift up our men and women who are out there fighting fires. Father, keep them protected from the flames, but also just the heat of the day. And we just pray that your provision of rain and soaking rain that we need so desperately, not just in our state, but I'm sure there's other states that are in the same condition. Father, we just pray that you would just provide in that way and just show through with your glory and your majesty and your provision in that way. Father, today as we just meet here, Father, I pray that you, as we so often ask, that you would just meet us here. We know you're here already. We know that. But Father, today I just pray a special moment today as we are here together, your brother, your sons and your daughters, that we would just collectively just unite with you in this place, and that you would speak so clearly and move in our hearts and our minds this morning. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
Where's from a praise begin? Taking away.
pass if you love.
You can do it faster.
Whatever.
You are way maker, miracle worker, promise.
worship you. I worship you. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
There's a lot of us in this room this morning that need to be reminded that you are the way maker, that you are the promise keeper, because that's who you are. Even though we can't see it, we can't feel it, it doesn't seem true, the circumstances in front of us are stacked against us, and they're real. You are still the way maker. You are still the promise keeper. You still have everything in the palm of your hand, and there's nothing happening that you don't know about. May we trust that reality and that promise today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm-hmm. I'm reconciled.
so grateful is not even a big enough word. That your great love for us was delivered to us through your Son, Jesus. And I know I pray this all the time, but it's nevertheless overwhelming to me when I think about the fact, Jesus, that you subjected yourself to come down to your own creation and allow your creation to do what they did because you surrendered to the Father's plan so that we could have a life, true life, abundant life, everlasting life, a life free of the weight of guilt and sin, even here in this place, in this broken, busted world. We can have freedom. We can have healing. We can be whole and perfect. Gratitude is not big enough. We must live our lives dedicated to serving you and living out this amazing gift that we get to operate in. And it's in your mighty name, Jesus, that we ask all these things. Amen. You may be seated.
You know, you're getting old when you can't make a run to Fairbanks and back in one day and be exhausted. My legs are trashed sitting in a car for however many hours it was. My wife drove the whole time, too, and I was like, man, what's up with that? When did I become a passenger? But anyway, it was a good trip. Met Dallas, got married, and so it was good. Brant was dressed up. I was like, man, it looked really good. He was wearing a vest, and I was like, man, I told him he needs to preach. He's like, no. I was like, he did a good little sermonette and everything. I was like, man, you make mistakes doing that. You're going to make you preach one of these days. But you saw how short it was. I'm like, I know. And the people would be really happy. They'd be good with a short service. But no, it was good. It was awesome, awesome time. Just some house clean or information. Dave and Judy will be here tomorrow. So that'll be good. This is my last Sunday for a while. I'm going to be going on vacation starting the 10th, so I'll be around and available through next week. So I'll have my work phone, those of you that have it. If you don't have it and you want my work phone number, come talk to me. Because if you call after the 10th, Pastor Mike will have it. So he'll have all the information. So if you guys have questions, concerns, problems, do not call me because I will not answer you. So talk to Pastor Mike or one of the elders that are here. They would be glad to help you. So that's going to be a good time just to be able to get away. And Pastor Mike will be actually speaking for the next 5 weeks. I will not be gone that long. I'm writing that, right, Mike? Yes. He's got a series that God gave him, so I'm like, sweet, I get to come and sit in my own church and listen to someone else preach. It's awesome. That doesn't happen very often. So I think that's all. Oh, and family camp starts Wednesday? Tuesday? Why do I keep saying Wednesday? Are they changing the days on me? Because didn't it used to start on Wednesday, Doug? Okay.
The hot dog roast starts on Tuesday.
Okay, so the actual camp starts on Wednesday. So I'm not crazy. Thank you. Okay, so there's a hot dog thing on Tuesday. So anyway, hopefully you guys can read that because I can't read that words up there even as big as they aren't. Anyway, so again, please come out to family camp. The speaker is really good. Mark Fast and his wife will be there and his daughter and her husband would be leading worship. So I'm expecting it to be a great and fantastic time. So I think I'm not missing anything in my neck. Lawn care sign-up sheet's always in the back throughout the rest of the summer. I don't think Dave and Judy are going to be doing it. I'm going to try to keep them off the equipment. So, I mean, as much as I can make Dave and Judy do anything they don't want to do. But, no, I'm looking forward to seeing them. It's been a while. I know they've been antsy to get up here, but they've been putting their house in place, so it's good. So they went from rolling wheels to no wheels again, so it's interesting. So we are, believe it or not, I believe unless, you know, God changes something in the next 30 minutes, we are going to be wrapping up Second Chronicles 7:14 today. I know, it's a miracle. But it's just fascinating how the timing that God, when he takes you through things and just the sequence of events, and it's like, well, that was coincidental. I'm like, no, it's not coincidence. There's nothing God doesn't operate in coincidences, I don't believe. So here we are in 2 Chronicles 7:14, wrapping it up this morning. We're going to just read through the whole verse again. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Last week we looked at hearing from heaven. This morning we're looking at forgive their sin and heal their land. It was fascinating to me as I was studying through this and just sitting in my office and God was just like talking to me and I was listening to it. It was like this whole idea of, because you know, I could break that up and talk just about forgiveness. I could talk about healing. But really, forgiveness and healing go hand in hand, do they not? I mean, I didn't think about that. It's like, wow, forgiveness and healing go hand in hand. And here's the thing, a lot of times when we read all those verses that we can look at through Scripture about forgiving, how many times do we forgive and all those kinds of things. And I think a lot of times, I think in the church especially, we equate forgiveness with like we don't ever think about it ever again. Or we think about forgiveness as, well, now I got to be best friends with them. No, that's not what that's talking about. Because if there's an offense done, there's still consequences attached to that. Yes, we need to forgive because forgiveness releases us and releases them. So like if I'm at odds with someone and I do something very harmful and hurtful to this person and I come to that realization, I come to them and say, man, will you forgive me? Please forgive me for this offense that I've caused you. And it's a deep wound that I've caused this individual. They have that choice to forgive me or not, right? But the fact that I've come to them and said, man, will you forgive me of this? And they say, no, I refuse to forgive you, and I'm going to pull this over your head for the rest of your life. You know what's kind of cool is all that weight gets transferred to them. As crazy as that sounds. It's like you're just released of responsibility. No, if there's some things that I need to do to try to make some things right, I still need to try to do those things. But I'm saying in this place of God's forgiveness, there is absolute healing. It's an automatic thing with God. When he forgives us, there's healing. There's this thing we get to walk and operate in. And it always leads to healing. I love that. I mean, has anybody not been, in their life, have you never had an experience where you've never needed to extend forgiveness to anybody? Oh, I thought you were raising your hand, Patty. I was like, wow, really? Explain. All right? We've all had those moments where we've had that great offense done to us, whether it was intentional or otherwise, right? And it's like, but when we come to that place and where we need to go ask for forgiveness, I don't know why it's hard to ask for forgiveness. Is it hard to ask for forgiveness? Yeah, I think sometimes it is because it's like, well, I was justified, and at least for me, I get into that place where I was justified for saying that or doing that or whatever. And the fact that you're offended is your problem. No, I don't get to operate there. But when I get to that place, it's like I come to that individual and it's like, man, will you absolutely forgive me? And they extend graciously that forgiveness because they understand it releases both of us. That's a powerful thing. I was talking with Pastor Mike this week, and we were just talking over this idea of forgiveness, and we were talking about that verse that talks about when the disciples are talking to Jesus, you know, how many times they got to forgive, and he's like, you know, 70 times 7 is this ongoing. It's this ongoing thing because I don't know about you, but I've had these moments in my time, in my life, where I've had great offense done to me. Some really brutal, damaging things. And in the moment, because I believe this and I trust this and I know if I don't forgive this person as horrible as it is and they don't admit that they've done anything wrong, and I go and I say, I forgive you for that, and they're going, what do you forgive me for? I haven't done anything. Well, that's a really weird conversation, right? But I know I have to do that so I can get released. And so in that moment, at the beginning of that journey, I forgave them as much as I understood in that moment. And then it was a couple years later, I was in a church and the pastor was preaching on, I think it was about forgiveness, I don't remember specifically what he was talking about, but it was just this overwhelming need of like, wow, here's another layer that I need to forgive this person at. So that happened multiple times in my life that now at this point, if that person walked into the building this morning, there'd probably be a little bit of a check. I won't lie, right? But I wouldn't want to take them out. And that's where I was at the beginning of the journey. because I know that's not the place, and this place of forgiveness has absolutely, in my own heart and mind, healed me of that place. And it was a journey. It wasn't an instantaneous, I forgive them and now I forget about it. Sometimes that can happen, just depends on the level of offense. And one of the things that I know, I love definitions, and I was looking up the word heal, and it's like, it's all the things we know, right, to mend and to make right and all those kinds of things. But one of the definitions that was very interesting to me was this. It says, to mend by stitching. Jim, you know a little bit about that, don't you? You got some scars on your knees, both of them now. Probably a lot of, anybody not have a scar on your body? Okay. Right, I mean, it's just like, but it's just fascinating to me. It's like, so when with that forgiveness, so you think about that in this games if you do all things, I will hear God says, and I will forgive, and I will heal. But there's probably might going to be some scars attached to that moment. There's scars attached to things that I've experienced physically. My body is covered in scars. And I think about that, it's like, but it's a memory. Sometimes I've lost the memory of what the scar was from because I have so many of them, right? But major events, like my hand, I'll never forget all the scars that are on my hand. I know the day, the time, all the surgeries I've had, the moments around all that, it tells a story. And I've had opportunity to talk to people about Jesus through my hand because what happened to your hand, right? And what I love about these scars is because they tell a story, and this mend by stitching, because I think a lot of times when we want healing, I think a lot of times we want like no evidence that there's had anything wrong with us. Where's the fun in that? I know I said a long time ago here that if people don't have scars, they kind of make me nervous. Either physical or emotional. Now, don't get me wrong. I wish that people wouldn't have to go through the horrible things that we do, that we say to each other, do to each other. But that's life in this broken world in which we live. And we still have to come to this place of this forgiving. I mean, you think about God's forgiveness for us. You know, you think about like, oh, I'm being very magnanimous in my gracious forgiveness of that person. Think about what God has forgiven us for. We're dealing with individuals or maybe even a group of people. He's dealing with the whole world over and over and over and over and over and over again. And that's just his people that claim to be followers and children of his. What about the rest of the people that he still loves that continue to abuse everything he's given them? And I'm not saying he can't, you know, he wants to forgive them, that's there for them if they would turn and come to him, but that forgiveness in life, it is healing. All the things they're chasing after is there for their taking, for their asking, but they don't. They're so happy, and maybe not happy is not the right word. They're comfortable, as weird as it sounds, in their mess, and they don't want the forgiveness. I don't understand that. I don't like being at odds with someone and knowing that I need their forgiveness and not have them extend it to me. That's hard for me to let that go and let that be on them. Because I want to make it right. We don't have to be best friends at the end of the day, but just like, just forgive me for what I've done. I know it's my fault. I did this. So we can heal, not just for me, but we can heal. And I love that those things just go hand in hand. And I think about, again, all these things that we've done in our bodies, the cuts and the scrapes and the surgeries and all those things, and healing of the body. We pray for those all the time. We've been praying for Pastor Mike and other people that have been sick in our body and outside of our body, and that's great to pray for the things of physical, and that's miraculous and it's awesome. I mean, I would love to come up here and have somebody pray and, you know, and have the miraculous happen physically. That's happened here. But to me, more miraculous is when we surrender and we forgive each other, and the things in our hearts and our minds are healed and are stitched back together. Right? I mean, more miraculous. I would rather be stuck, you know, never being able to walk ever again and have an amazing relationship with my wife because we have worked and we have fought and we have stitched and forgiven and Father has healed. And we have this amazing relationship as a husband and wife. Give me that all day long over physical healing. I know it's like you're looking at me go, well, it's easy for you. You're walking around. You don't have any physical ailments. Okay. And that's true for the most part. But I know what it's like to sit in this place of these damaging things that we have done to each other and have been done to us. And it was like, God, I need to forgive, because you say, just like in the setting of Chronicles, man, if you come and you confess and you turn and you just get on your face before me, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive your sins. I will heal your land. And I know in that particular time, it's probably talking about the actual geography around them. And that's cool. I would love to see that happen here, right? But more importantly, again, like I've said many times in the series, I would rather see hearts healed than our land healed. I would rather see churches turn back to God and go, man, God, we have messed this up. We have started chasing the fad of the day. We have stopped preaching your word unapologetically. And we have stopped forgiving those people in our churches that have offended us for whatever slight reasons or major reasons. But at the end of the day, I have talked to people, and even in my own life, I have been offended over the silliest, smallest things and have turned it into bitterness in my own heart, because that's what unforgiveness does, by the way. It doesn't just stay dormant. It doesn't just stay at one level. It gets worse if it doesn't get rooted out. And when we come to those realizations and we come to that, we need to go to those people. And sometimes, have you ever had that time when you've gone to someone and said, man, I need to ask for your forgiveness? And they're legitimately like, for what? Well, I've been harboring this really bad thought about you. And they're like, okay. You know, it's just, that's really embarrassing, right? But we need to do that. It's embarrassing. It's like awkward. And like that person might think differently of you. So what? If we're in this place of really seeking after Father's face, and we're really seeking his hearing us, if we're really seeking his ability to forgive us, because he's got that ability, but we're hindering that, if we're really wanting healing in our life, we might need to look at if we have some unforgiveness in our heart. And I only say that because I've lived in those places in my life where I've had that, maybe unintentionally not knowing, then the light was shined and it was showing, like, look, you've got this unforgiveness toward this person. You need to go make it right. And they may not even know what you're even going to be talking about. But I understand it's a liberating thing to be in this place of absolute forgiveness from God. I can't even imagine what it'd be like to live in this world without a God who loves me, that I can go to 24/7 and ask for forgiveness for the screw-up that I messed up that day. I understand my sins are covered. I get there. But that relational, every single day, keeping those short accounts and keeping that line of communication open with my Father is paramount. Look at a few other scriptures this morning. Psalm 103. Again, this idea of forgiveness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Forget not all his benefits, all he forgives, all your iniquity, not just the ones he wants to, all, I love that little word, all. He heals all your diseases. Like, well, wait a minute, I still got some diseases, I still got broken up knee, I still got whatever. No, I think, again, we get stuck in the physical realm. I'd rather be healed of the diseases that are thoughts that go through this brain on a too often occasion. Heal that. Renew that every single day. And I love verse 5, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Some of us that are over the age of 40 understand what that is. You know, some of you can jump in a car and drive to Fairbanks and back, and your knees don't hurt. You don't have to get out halfway and walk around because your knees all, you know, stuck, right? But here's the thing. When we are in this place of unforgiveness, it weighs you down. And when you get to that place of forgiveness and you're set free and you're healed and you're stitched back together, then there's a lightness in your spirit, is there not? You get to that point when you've got that forgiveness and you have that true forgiveness from that person, or you've come to Father and he's like, man, I got you. I forgive you. You're my kid. If you feel weight getting up off your knees at that moment, that's the enemy trying to keep you down. That's not God's weight. He's already taken it all off. And the enemy's like, yeah. I know God did that, but look at all the damage you did. He's a liar. He's a liar. That's all he's good for, is lying. Because he's got no teeth when it comes to our lives. And we have this ability to extend, receive forgiveness from God. We don't forgive God to each other, but we have the ability to receive forgiveness from God in this place of healing because of Jesus. I'm just going to read a few verses out of Isaiah 53. Just close your eyes and just listen to these words. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. And I'm skipping a bunch of verses. Yet he bore the sin of many. And makes intercession for the transgressor. We have the ability to receive forgiveness from Father. We have the ability to receive healing from Father because of Jesus. Because he's all the stuff we have ever felt, all the rejection, all the sin, all that stuff, our minds can't begin to comprehend what he has felt for us. Your heaviest grief you will ever experience that makes you feels like you're coming apart at the seams is, and I'm not minimizing this, so please don't hear me say it doesn't matter, but that's nothing compared to what Jesus felt. And when you go to him and you say, man, I am at my end and I need forgiveness and I need healing, he's like, I got you. And I am interceding for you in this moment. We need to hear this over and over, how much we're forgiven, and not to take it for granted, but to live in this place of absolutely forgiven, blood-bought daughters and sons of the living God. Because there are so many people desperate and they have no idea who God is. Met a young man this week who has no idea not only who God is, but the reality in which he is living. I sat for about 30 minutes with this young man and tried to minister, but it was like, I walked away going, God, what was the point of all that? He's like, because he needed someone to go talk to him. So I talked to him about Jesus and God. He knew all. That's too long of a conversation. I don't even get into. But where are we willing to go to place this reality that there is a God who forgives and will heal? How many people sitting in our churches in our this morning, our churches around our state, understand this? Or do they understand that God's a conditional God? That he only forgives some things and he only heals some things because, man, I prayed and it didn't feel like it. Your feelings will hijack you. Go back to the Word. Go back to the purity of Scripture. Go back, read over Isaiah 53. That's a whole other series. Go back and just read over it and be overwhelmed by what Jesus has done for you and continues to do for all of us today. And that's why we get to access this healing, this forgiveness. When Father says, if you do this, I will hear. I will heal. I will forgive your sins. And I will heal your land. Father God, this morning I pray that as we leave here this morning, Father, that you would show us maybe there's some things we need to make right with each other. We need to make right with somebody. Maybe somebody that we need to forgive is dead and gone. And we can't physically ask them, like, will you forgive me? But Father, I know that we can still ask that of you, and you understand, and you can release that in us. And Father, this land that I just keep hearing over and over, it's the land is our, who we are. How big is our land? How big is the land that you want us to heal? Is it just for us? That's great. It's a place to start. But maybe we need to be praying into our family that our family needs to be healed. And maybe it's a good thing already, but it can always get better. Or maybe our families are in absolute devastation and they're coming apart. And Father, we need to be hitting our knees and getting together with others and like, man, please pray for my family. They need healing. I'm not talking about physical healing. I'm talking about, man, they need their minds renewed. They need hope restored. They need forgiveness first and foremost extended to one another if they haven't had a relationship with you that needs to start there. The enemy hates forgiveness. Because if we don't forgive, then that's bitterness and anger and strife and division. And there definitely isn't any healing going on. Just brokenness, continued woundedness, continued wounding of each other. Because that's what wounded people do. They don't know anything else. Make us a people who are healing people so that when we speak and when we operate in that place of forgiveness and healing that you have given to us. We can't do this on our own. On our own strength, it's not going to happen. Oh, but with your strength, all things are possible. All things. The impossible is possible. We thank you for these moments in time. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to end with communion this morning. If you haven't been with us in communion, after I read, just come up, grab the elements, go back to your seat, and it's a private time between you and God, and then we'll close out. So here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples. And he said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And again, I know I've brought this out before, but Matthew brings out this institution of the Lord's Supper. And I don't think it's just, again, I don't believe anything is written down, the sequence of things is by accident. And when you look at Matthew's account, he just got done having Passover with the disciples. He tells Judas to go do what he's going to do. They have the Lord's Supper, and then he tells Peter he's going to deny him. What a place to sandwich the institution of the Lord's Supper. You're being betrayed on each end. And yeah, we know Jesus is like, this is for the forgiveness of sins. He's living in the moment of this reality of like, this is what I'm talking about. This is about forgiveness of sins. And there's, you know, coming up and taking the elements is not about forgiveness of sins. This is remembering that moment that we gave our life to Jesus Christ and we had that first breath of freedom. That first breath of healing, that first breath of everlasting life. Yes, we're not going to live here forever, but we are going to live somewhere forever. So this morning when you come, just remember personally what your life is like with Jesus. And if you can remember back far enough for some of us, remember what your life was like before Jesus. Now, some of us were kids, and I get it. But I still don't remember the thought process I had as a little kid. It was messed up. So as you come this morning, just let God just remind you, not from a place of condemnation or guilt, but from a place of like, look, daughter, look, son, you are mine. This is what I did for you. Never forget. Never forget. Never take this moment for granted. So when you're ready, just come on up. You guys want to take a seat for me? Oh, just as a reminder, the bread is gluten-free, so it should be good for everybody. craziness of the world around us. May you just continue to remind us that you're still on the throne, that you care about the little things that are going on in our lives, that you are still a God who